one name stands out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.
It is a beautiful Tuesday morning. It is a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Cleveland, Ohio. We've had some spectacular weather. I hope that you've had good weather wherever you are. It's been warm, but not too warm. We've had enough rain. We've just had a lovely summer. So my name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here this week for our weekly morning coffee with Dr. T. For 22 years, I've given thousands of interviews and podcasts, spoken at seminars, and most of my information in one way or another was almost always about vaccines. But I wanted to get more information out to all of you with almost 30 years of medical experience, and I've got a broad range of interest in a lot of other topics. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to hear more things and also give you an opportunity to have your specific questions answered. You know, I can answer any question that you bring up here. If I don't know the answer, I'll just tell you I don't know. But please make your questions be generic so that they can be broad-based for everyone. I can't give specific medical advice. This is also meant to be educational and somewhat fun. So this, think of this event as if every Tuesday morning we decided to go down the street, meet at a local coffee shop, have a cup of coffee to start the day, and just have some really great conversation that we haven't We just couldn't do it some other place. So have your cup of coffee. This is my morning coffee this morning. It's one of my new mugs. You know, I told you guys before that I shop at my own store, and I do. I bought three new mugs. This one says Faith Can Move Mountains. This is one of my new mugs. I went through my cupboard. I have so many cups from vacations and trips that I've done, and I just purged probably 30 cups to make room for the new cups that I got. I got three new cups. This is one of them that's in our store. It says Tenpenny Walking with God, which is my Sunday Substack on the back. And it says Faith Can Move Mountains on the front. I also got a couple of t-shirts. So it's a good place. We're always putting up new things. So go out there and do a little shopping. You don't have to buy, just go shopping. I mean, sometimes you go to the mall, you wander through the store, you don't necessarily get anything. See all the things that we have for offer. And then you also know that our advertisements, it's just part of business. If you don't advertise your business, you can't make any money. If you don't make any money, you don't stay in business. That was always the amusing thing to me back at the beginning of COVID when they were saying, you know, only essential businesses. And all of us that own businesses scratched our heads because an essential business is one that is in business and has customers. It is essential to that customer. And it doesn't matter if you're a hairdresser or a dog groomer, a dog walker. If you have a business and you have customers, you are essential to that customer. So this is advertising is just part of daily doing business. You see it when you hear it, credit card advertisements when you're on an airplane. You see it in magazines. You see it on TV. You see it on YouTube. So it's just part of doing business. Don't take offense to it. Either you are interested and you want to share your money with us by supporting our businesses and the things that we do, or you don't. And that's okay, but it's our job to be able to market things out to you and tell you things that are of interest and things that will help you in your daily life, like the vitamins that we do, the Touchstone products that we promote, the different apparel things that we do, and different educational processes, because education is the cornerstone of what we do. In fact, back in about 2000, I started doing vaccine education in September of 2000 after I went to the National Vaccine Information Center meeting in Washington, D.C. I came home from that after a 3.5-day meeting and went, How the heck did I miss this? I better look into this. Well, I started looking into the CDC documents and a few other big documents that I had. And within 3 months, I had two huge educational programs. I mean, huge, like the binders for the educational program were about 3 inches thick. And I had created a course for parents and a course for providers. And then Apex Energetics, a nutraceutical company out of California, hired me. And for 2 years, every other weekend, I was on an airplane flying somewhere, educating chiropractors and acupuncturists and integrative doctors about the problems with vaccines. That was back in early 2001. So education has always been a part of what we do. That's why I created Learning for You. And for those of you that have been following us and taken a lot of our courses along the way, it used to be called, at the beginning, it was called Mastering Vaccine Info. And Mastering Vaccine Info is what we did. We had a boot camps. We did boot camps where we had six parts where we talked about safe and effective. So what about smallpox and polio, how to read a package insert, the ramp up of the schedule, and then we would have a debate. And we've been doing that since about 2017. And we also taught you language training, like what is the best way to introduce people to concepts that they're foreign about them, or they want to resist them, or they're, you know, like, what do you mean vaccines are bad? You know, how do you break through that? And we did a lot of language education. And the core bottom line of that is lead with a question. And instead of telling people things, ask them questions. Preface it with saying things like, did you know? Did you know? And then say the factoid. Or were you aware? Or have you ever heard of this before? And to preface your statements with questions. And so we put together some really good information that was, at the time, very controversial, and getting things out there in a way so that people could understand them and bringing different information to people. A lot of our Learning for You courses, Dr. Lee Merritt creates courses for us. A lot of them are vaccine related, but we also have courses for teenagers that to really break into the vaccine world. We've got a 9-part course by Kirk Elliott that talks about money and the background of money and the history of money and silver and gold. There's a lot of really good courses that we have out there. And Learning for You is actually a sister company to DrTenPenny.com, but it's a completely different company. It's got a different cash flow. It's got different sales. It's got different employees. And so it's a different company. And that's why when we have our our educational boot camps that we do, you know, usually twice a year, we've been doing twice a year boot camps for a really long time. It's to bring you information. We've done prepper boot camps. We've done boot camps on money. We've done all the boot camps on vaccines. So with that, I'm going to bring on a special guest with me this morning that many of you already know if you've done some of our boot camps and have been following me for a really long time. For those that don't know, let me introduce you to Matthew J. Hunt. Matt and I have been friends since about 2008. We got together during the Ron Paul campaign when he was running for president, and we started a little tiny organization called Pandemic Flu Online. And then we did a lot of things. I'll never forget that. I'll tell you a quick story. Matt comes from an IT techie background, and that was how I was introduced to him. He's an IT techie guy. So I'm just thinking he manages techie things. I didn't realize how advanced and deep and broad his education was and his client base was. And I called him one night. I didn't even know what time zone he lived in. And I called him and said, my printer isn't working. Can you help me fix it? And this is somebody who has done internet things at the highest level of government and international things. And here I was asking this guy to fix my printer. It's laughable, actually. But that's where we got started back in 2008. And since that time, we've been doing vaccine and prepper boot camp since about 2017. He's my business partner at learningforyou.org. And something you probably don't know about Matt And is that he's been a Mason for over 30 years, beginning in Texas in 1992. Since joining, he has held various offices in most of the Masonic bodies and organizations, an avid student of history, which is where he got started with this. And as he loves esoteric knowledge, and man, he is uber smart, and he has a broad base of background in education. He enjoys a good mystery and a great story. In fact, he had studied the Masons for years before he decided to join and has never stopped seeking more knowledge on the subject. I know that this is a controversial topic and people already are polarized and they've already got their opinions in place based on something they've read or some video that they've watched. But Matt has wanted to set the record straight about this for a really long time. And so he has created a webinar and information from somebody from the inside, somebody that's been doing this for a really long time. So I want him to come on and join us at Morning Coffee right now so that he could talk a little bit about what the webinar is going to be about. And he's pretty excited because, you know, his background, I mean, he went to seminary school to become a Methodist minister. He's got a background in IT. He's got a background in all kinds of things. But he can explain himself better than I can, even though he's been my really, really good friend. So I'll let him tell you more about what he wants to talk about this morning. So Matt, welcome to Morning Coffee with Dr. T. I'm so glad that you came on to join us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here. You know, this webinar, I think for our audience, the ones that have taken courses, I think they'll understand that, you know, Learning for You has been expanding. We're trying to bring in different perspectives and different knowledge bases so that we can teach it and give you guys like an ongoing living record of information. We've done that with the vaccine stuff. And it's funny that you mentioned the dates when we started. You know, we go all the way back to the first MVI. I mean, I've got an old MVI mentor baseball cap here on my desk. Yeah. I mean, the old logo. And, you know, it's funny. When I started thinking about putting this webinar together, there's a couple of reasons. One is, unfortunately, Freemasonry hasn't done itself any favors over the many, many years by adopting the policy of never arguing nor defending ourselves in public. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, that is a precept inside Freemasonry that we're taught is, you know, turn the other cheek, never defend the craft, never, you know, I'll talk about the craft because I know you wonder why that term's used. But, you know, we just don't publicly argue and defend. I'm stepping outside that box a little bit because I think that there's a lot of misinformation. And as we roll forward, it's not Baphomet, it's actually the Texas star with the longhorn. So I know it looks like Baphomet, but it's not. So that's funny. This is a lodge hat from Texas. But that, again, is one of the things where people jump on the symbology that we use and they don't understand simple things. I mean, Occam's razor is definitely at play and people forget. Sometimes the simplest explanation is the right one. And I mean, just as somebody said, I see Baphomet on his hat, is, you know, it's the star of Texas because I'm a Texas Freemason. It has a square and compasses at the top and it has a longhorn. I also went to University of Texas, so I happen to like the longhorn. But, you know, it's funny the conclusions that people jump to when they're not educated on it. And our mission, you know, all those late night calls back in pandemic flu online, one of the things that we despised about our movement was nobody educated large groups of people at once. We had seminars. We had people back then, remember the dollar DVD movement? Everybody tried to put out DVDs and mail them out. We actually mailed DVDs to people trying to educate on, you know, anthrax or, you know, flu shots, everything. But we still failed back then to teach people en masse. So when MVI came around and you and I gave birth to that idea, we got railed against when we tried to market that first boot camp. I mean, as anti-vaxxers and health freedom people, we were called everything under the sun, including baby killers. We're putting everybody at risk. We're the reason people die just because we questioned the actual message being used in propaganda to make you go take a shot. Well, I look at that same model with Freemasonry. And Freemasonry is, at its very simplest, it's a fraternity. It is a group of men getting together with common core beliefs. And the idea, was born out of the trade schools and the guilds for crafting, for example, stonemasons. That's where Freemasonry comes from. Stonemasons were just like the church and other organizations back then. If you had children and you couldn't take care of them, some people gave them to the church. A child became a priest or became under the care of a church. Sometimes they gave them to craft guilds like Masons. Why? Because they could earn a keep, they would get fed, and they would be educated. So in the stonemason guilds, you would become educated. Well, they also had a way to educate them using the tools that were common to Freemasonry or to Masonry, operative Masonry. And it became a way of using the common trowel, the gavel, 24-inch gauge, which is a ruler, a plumb, and all those instruments used by Masons to craft stones for builders' use. They have symbolic knowledge behind them. And that symbolic knowledge is the way they educated these children and these young men that came into their craft guild. So why do we call it a craft? Why do I mention the craft? Well, it is born from that idea of being a craft guild. And the purposes of Freemason are to take good men and make them better. It's always crafting somebody to be better than they came into the craft. So we have symbols like the rough ashlar, which is a rough stone, which an entered apprentice, the first level of mason in a guild, would be the guy that breaks that stone from a bigger stone and makes it essentially a block shape, but it's still rough hewn, right? So the perfect ashlar is smooth and ready for the builder's use to be put in place. So we recognize that we humans are imperfect. We're rough ashlars. And the craft is continually trying to remind you to do better. And it's not a religion. It's telling you to go worship your own religion in your own church. We don't offer salvation. We offer reminders, albeit most of them are based in Judeo-Christian history in the United States. But we don't preach salvation. We don't offer you a God. We just name a God. And the God we name is kind of like the term, the name God, G-O-D, is not a personal actual name. It's God, right? It means a God, the God, if it's capitalized. Sometimes we refer to God as Supreme Architect of the Universe because we don't know his name. We don't know what to call him other than God. Sometimes he's simply referred to as God. We have prayers inside meetings. Why? Because you should always invoke the aid of deity in anything you do. I mean, you have opening prayers in public meetings. Well, you should still. Boards of education have prayers open. City councils use prayers open. Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts use prayers. Freemasons do too. That doesn't mean that we're a religion. Doesn't mean that we're evil or anything like that. I mean, we're pretty easy to track down, and you can read the rituals if you want. You can read all the induction ceremonies you want. There's copies of it in the Library of Congress. There's fake copies like Duncan's ritual, which has been published forever to expose Freemasonry. They're all over the place. Are they accurate? Not really. Are they close? They're in the ballpark. But the truth is, you can read it all you want, but until you become a Freemason, you don't really understand how it's implemented, how it's a welcoming fraternity, and everybody's really trying to meet each other on the level and treat each other by the square. And it's the overriding belief and practice of Freemasonry is the golden rule.
Is to what?
The golden rule. The golden rule. Oh. Treat others as you would have them treat you. I mean, it's pretty simple. And make yourself better. Again, the history has been occluded. It's also, unfortunately, because it's mysterious and we've never talked about it publicly and never defended it publicly, there's one exception to that. When the Southern Baptist Convention in Texas came out against Freemasonry and was trying to expel all Freemasons from the Baptist Church, they had to be dealt with, and we had to explain who we are, because they were all lies and ideas that were born out of fake information. And in this country, that information has been allowed to flourish because we don't defend it. The first third political party in the United States of America was the Anti-Mason Party.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was in 18. Anti-Masonic Party is the actual official name, and that was born from the William Morgan Affair.
Didn't you tell me that the founders and the signers of the Constitution were, if not all, most of them were Masons?
Absolutely. And a lot of the precepts in this country come from the practices of Freemasonry. I mean, you know, everybody hears terms like Worshipful Master, which is the head of lodge. He's the head officer of the lodge for a Masonic term, which is usually Masonic year. And the only reason we call it Masonic year is because it starts at a different time in the year, the calendar year. But, you know, everybody has a chance to become Worshipful Master. Everybody has a chance to be elected to any position in the lodge. And once you're a Worshipful Master, you still have to go back to the ranks. So one of the reminders you get whenever you sit in the East, which is where the Worshipful Master sits, is, you know, from the ranks you came and to them you must return. So be a good leader, because pretty soon you're going to be on the sidelines again. So that whole idea of a democratic process, of everybody's involved in the process, everybody has a right to be in those chairs, the offices in the lodge, that comes from us. The whole idea of blackball, everybody knows the term blackballing, right? That comes from our voting practices. We have a secret ballot, and we literally use white marbles and black marbles, and sometimes they're black cubes, so that people can feel the difference when they put their hand in the ballot box. So when we vote for officers, one black ball, you're out. You don't get it.
So Matt, you said that, you know, Masons as an organization isn't a religious organization.
Correct.
So that means that they respect other religious practices, such as if you're a Christian versus a Catholic versus maybe a Muslim, maybe a Hindu. Is that true? Is that reason why that it's more of a universalist type of approach rather than a Christian type of approach, which can be inclusive or can also be exclusionary?
Oh yeah,
is that the explanation for that?
I think that's a fair characterization. It's not necessarily universalist as much as we have one common belief in religion that binds us all together, and that's the one God, and he is the supreme God. And we're not sure what to call him, but if you're a Christian, your Bible is the one used in the lodge room. However, Muslims will also attend lodge, and their book of faith can be allowed at the altar or wherever we, you know, when we open the furniture of the lodge, which is a central piece of the lodge. You know, the Quran can be there. I've sat in lodge with Muslims, Jews that were actually back in the day when I became a Mason, I sat with two Holocaust survivors. And we they had the numbers on their arms. I mean, it was a hell of an education. And I didn't even know that, you know, hey, I didn't know survivors still existed, but I also didn't know that they were Masons and that they would sit in lodge with a Muslim at the same table. I didn't know that, you know, we've had Hindus as well. The Bhagavad Gita can be used as the book of faith. But no, we don't offer salvation. We don't offer a very specific thing until you go into other appendant organizations within Freemasonry. For example, if you go to the York Rite, you must be a Christian and you must profess faith in Christ. You also will vow to take up the sword in defense of Christianity as a York Rite Freemason. In Scottish Rite, it's way more general. Scottish Rite is not very specific for that. But there are very Christian undertones to some of the teachings. And all of it's taken straight from the Bible. I mean, it's the phrases you're going to hear with anything to do with Christianity are really historical notes and references to things that happened in the Old Testament as well as the New. But there's no preaching. There's no, you must do this or else the fire and brimstone of hell will get you. No, it's reminding you, go to your church, support it. In fact, I mean, one of the things that's interesting is, like, even in DMLA, the boys organization that we sponsor, you know, in their obligation, which is their promise to the organization, they promise to abide by the laws in their municipality. They promise to uphold the public education system as a bastion of freedom. They promise to be good sons and uphold their parents as their rule and guide to their lives. You know, they're all very patriotic and very normal promises you make, and they're all reminders for you to make yourself become better. So yes, I think it was a fair characterization. Universalist is a little bit weird for me because there are connotations to universalist churches, which I don't like. But that's me. That's my personal belief. The only belief that matters is that I'm monotheistic. I believe in one God, and He is the only God.
You know, I think that your first characterization of Masons as being a fraternity, I think, is a good one, because, you know, in a fraternity house, let's say if you're on college campus and you join a fraternity, you are doing that. Usually the fraternities are about science or sports, or, you know, they're kind of brought together from a place like that. Sure. These are people. So this is a fraternity that gets together for the common good, to make people be better. It's sort of like sororities are the same way. And so,
yeah. And most of us, most Masonic lodges, as well as our pendant bodies, have charities that are near and dear to them. You know, I'm a Shriner as well. And for those that don't know, the Shrine is a club that used to be, you had to be a 32nd degree Freemason or a Knight Templar in New York Rite to become a member of the Shrine. They've reduced that to where you can just be a 30 degree Mason. Over the years, and that's because of membership laws. People don't join things anymore, and you know, people are critical of things. But the Shrine is a playground; it's a club. But that organization literally came into existence because a couple of Freemasons challenged each other with a bet that they could come up with a way to make hospitals 100% free, and that's been the premise of the Shrine. So everything we do in the Shrine. You know, most meetings at the Shrine, you get a financial report. Our meetings are boring, by the way. Everybody thinks we don capes and, you know, sacrifice things in an altar. It's really boring. Most of the time, it's a business meeting where we talk about bank accounts and checks we have to write and the next, you know, spaghetti dinner we're hosting. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, the Shrine, when I became a member of that, I understood immediately that it literally exists to funnel money to our hospitals, our burn centers, our orthopedic hospitals. One of the first units I got involved with was Shrine. Their duty in the Motor Corps, their secondary duty, other than doing parades and raising money that way, was transporting families and children to the hospital, the orthopedics hospital, the burn center. The burn center was a wide awakening for me. I had never seen people that harmed by fire. And I mean, car accidents and fires, it's terrible. The orthopedics, you know, one of the symbols of the Shrine is a Shriner carrying a child in one arm and the other arm, he's got the kid's crutches, you know, because, you know, it was a mission to fix these problems so kids could walk normally, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I mean, there's missions like that are important near and dear. And most of our time is bent around trying to support those organizations that we've made a commitment to. And the Tall Cedars of Lebanon, which is another dependent organization, Neuromuscular Diseases for Children is the chosen charity. So the Muscular Dystrophy Foundation, MS Society, all those, the myelin groups, those are who we funnel money to. And it's to help those kids get past it. Sometimes some of those families, you know, they don't have money to put ramps in their house once their kid is wheelchair bound. We do that. We do it for them. And we do it at zero cost. The Knight Templar Eye Foundation is to provide a donor network for corneas so that people can see.
You know, there's something I want to say about this is, you know, we had on John Barber. Oh, I think this was maybe 3 years ago now. We did a three-part series with him with his investigative report into the Kennedy assassination and the things that he knew firsthand. You know, John is a lovely man. He's in his 80s now. He's just a great guy. And one of the things he said then, and I think very much applies to this discussion and to this upcoming webinar, is that real journalism back in the day used to be hearing both sides, asking questions, learning, with an open mind, investigating, and then making your own decisions. Today, what stands out is either is all the polarization of everything that we do, whether it's vaccines, whether it's politics, whether it's the government, it's left or right, up or down, black or white. You know, it's complete polarization, and that people are not open-minded enough to hear that perhaps they don't know the full story. Perhaps they have just bought what they thought they knew, hook, line, and sinker, and just made the assumption that it was really true. I mean, Matt has said, and I totally agree with this, I mean, think it wasn't that long ago when anybody who questioned vaccines was a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist. How dare you say that vaccines were not the most important thing that ever happened to us and that they saved humanity? Well, then there's a, you know, we started that whole thing. One of the reasons we started the vaccine boot camps was to, we initially had a very lofty vision of wanting to educate thousands and thousands of people so that we had people were telling things from our side of the story that had taken the time to investigate. Maybe they had vaccine injured children, but they had done a lot of research. And so that whole thing over since, you know, over the last 20 years has just grown and grown and grown. Well, I think that the whole point of this webinar, and Matt's been, you know, wanting to say, to because he knows he's been in, you know, he's been doing this for 30 years, is wanting to explain that, to have people ask questions, open their minds, not, you know, we've had hosts on some of our social media pages, they were so mad at me, angry at me for even talking about this. How dare I? I mean, I write a Sunday Substack that's called Walking with God. How dare I even talk about this? Which really made me mad. Like, how dare you get mad at me for talking and censor my speech and to censor the things that I just think are, should be an open conversation about something that you probably have never heard the other side of before. So that's the reason that, you know, Matt's taken the stance of stepping out, and because most people already have a pre-decided opinion. And I would really challenge everyone to join this webinar with an open mind, ask your questions at the webinar, submit them, and have an open mind to what you're going to hear, because you're going to hear things that you've never heard before, because like Matt said, they just don't talk about it. They just keep their head down and bore forward. So Matt, why don't you at a kind of a high level give people kind of an outline or an overview? I mean, it's a 3-hour webinar. What sort of bullet points are you planning to address there?
So I think it'll start with, you know, an overall explanation of the history of the craft, how it came into being, how it evolved through time. And in parallel with that, I'll give the broad strokes in the beginning of the anti-Masonic movement and how it came into being and how it progressed as well. I mean, honestly, that movement, it was anti-elitist at its best in America, but around the world, the problem existed with, considering ourselves to be a secret society. And we had somebody that just exited this webinar, which honestly, it's, God bless him, David May, No Room in My World for Secret Societies. We'll check back next week. Thank you. Great. Good for you. But why would you leave when somebody's purporting to give you knowledge for free? Right? I mean, I'm sitting here willing to give you an explanation for free. And this is not easy because, you know, you think people were really mad at you, Sherry? You should have seen the stuff they were saying directly about me in the chats on Telegram. I mean, it's crazy, the vitriol, right? And we're not a secret society. We're a society with secrets. That's different. Our secrets are how we distinguish each other and can test each other to prove we're actually members. Because believe me, there's a lot of people out there that wear the square and compasses that have nothing to do with us. And those guys are getting famous talking crap about our society. So we start with that, the history, how it came into being, and why you might be wrong about us, right? And I'll explain why we really don't rule the world. And I mean, there's a really simple answer there, another Occam's razor moment. If we ruled the world, why would I be paying bills? Why would I be sweating IRS and tax bills and all that? Why wouldn't I be on one of 12, 15 people living on a huge mountain mansion on the hill? Because I'm a Mason. Oh, well, you're not high enough. I'm a 32nd degree Knight Commander Court of Honor. There's only one more step, and it's 33rd degree. So at 32nd degree KCCH, I'm not ruling the world, people. You know, I have a lot of the same concerns you guys all have. So then we move on to the truth about our beliefs. Why do all the secrets exist? And why does that tradition continue from the inception of Freemasonry all the way to today? And then we'll talk about how we actually interact with governments and society, because people have that wrong as well. And in that, I'm definitely going to go into the history, the shaded history of why the Vatican expelled us, why the Vatican got really mad at us. Why did the church come out against the Templars and what they really did? And most people don't know that the church actually apologized for the way they treated those Templars. So that's all during a time when they were squeezing everybody for false beliefs and trying to make everybody believe things that they tortured at. So then we'll move on to the anti-Masonic movement. We'll go more in depth. Then we'll talk about the real Illuminati story. And I've researched the Bavarian Illuminati of Adam Weishaupt since I was 17. I've got a lot of research and I've got a lot of source. And we're going to talk about the real Illuminati and where that nexus occurred. And we'll even talk about those famous letters that are in the George Washington collection, where a minister in America wrote specifically to George Washington, worried about the Illuminati in America. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about who they are and why they're not Masons. Do they exist inside Freemasonry? Possibly, but I doubt it. Now, it's possible they tried to abscond and take over the society at one point, especially in the 1776 era, but it didn't persist. And there's a lot of reasons why. But the history, the birth of the Illuminati, is not nearly as cool as people think. Adam Weishaupt was a shyster. He wanted to lure all these powerful men that were in Freemasonry into his own society so he could control them and, more importantly, get money out of them and prestige. The Illuminati was born from, I like what they have, I'm going to steal it from them. Period. So we'll talk about that history. We'll talk about the realities of it. We'll talk about who purports to be the Illuminati today. And let's see. Then I guess more of the broad strokes, you know, who the Knights Templar were. And it's a great history. I've got some links for you guys that I'll give during the seminar to go watch a couple of awesome videos that are about the Templars and the real history. Then we'll talk about the rites, the York Rite, Scottish Rite, why all those degrees exist from the third degree onward. And then I'll talk about a typical lodge meeting and let you guys know how it works. And then we'll talk about the youth and dependent women's organizations, because the symbology is something people just don't understand. They see a star and think it's Baphomet, or it's a pentacle or a pentagram. It's just a star. And a five-legged star is the five points of fellowship. So, you know, the Texas, Republic of Texas, if you live in Texas and you're throwing stones at me for being a Mason, your republic was founded by Masons. So look around your backyard, look in your family. Most people didn't hear from their uncles about being a Mason because they didn't talk about it. They didn't. And we don't recruit. We never go out seeking men. They must seek us. It's just, it keeps the society easy to manage. So I think the idea is the only way to pierce through the veil of lies is with truth. And I can offer the truth of what the craft really is. And I can take questions. And look, this is not an easy thing to do. Think about the arrows that were shot at you and shot at me in just a day for having sent one email out.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, be the guy on camera willing to sit for 3 hours and take questions.
Yeah, of things that people already know. So just imagine yourself. I mean, most of the people that I think that are, you know, following this and have listened to other things, you know, tend to be labeled what you would call anti-vaxxers. So just imagine if you were sitting in a room full of pro-vaxxers, you know, tearing everything apart, and you just were trying to calmly just say, no, there's another side of the story. You know, I think that this is a great educational event. I think that it's a eye-opening event. Nobody's trying to recruit you into being a Mason. Nobody's trying to get you to go to lodge. Nobody's trying to get you to say, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. This is an educational event that is planned to open your mind and to take out your negativity and your biases.
Exactly. And if we don't answer the questions, then we're not educated.
Right.
And our mission when you and I got together was just, it was education. And I happen to have the knowledge base in this particular topic. And the world's getting weird, folks. It's time to, you know, take some of your biases and look around you and decide what's real, what's not. Start piercing that veil of lies and get some truth. You may not believe me at the end of it. You may absolutely walk away and say, I knew he was a Satanist. No, I'm not. I'm really not. And that his, damn kids, doctor,
his kids go to Christian school.
Right.
He has a Methodist. What do you call it? You don't call it.
It's a master's divinity.
Yeah, master's of divinity degree, you know, from the Methodist, seminary. You know, his kids go to Christian schools. Those of you that have taken boot camps and things with Matt, you've known his honesty and sincerity. And I wouldn't have been friends with him for, you know, almost 20 years I've known all this time that Matt's been, you know, a Mason, and I know that his kids are involved in, you know, some of the things like that. So I personally am looking forward to this webinar, and I'm going to be there listening with you, because these are things that I don't know. And I would like to be able to defend, you know, when you go out someplace and people go into all the horrible things that the Masons do and don't do, I'd like to say, you know, there's another side of the story. And I heard it from somebody who's been a Mason for 30 years. That's kind of what we're hoping, one of the many things we're hoping to transpire with this webinar.
Yep. It's that simple.
So, do you have anything else you want to say about this, about promoting this? The Matt, you know, Cookie has posted the link several times to join the webinar. It's $65 for a 3-hour webinar. It can't get any better than that. And it will be recorded. It's on a Saturday. It will be recorded. It will be inside of Learning for You. The people that have signed up for it will have access to it. If you haven't signed up for it, you can buy it, you know, inside of Learning for You. It's because it is a Saturday, it is summer, and people do have events. And so I am looking forward to this as an educational event for myself, that I hope that many of you would be looking forward to that too. You know, somebody wrote, and I clicked it was in the question, it was in the Q&A. Oh, Matt clicked off there. But in the Q&A, somebody said, Lynn said, and I clicked the wrong button. It says, I purchased a Masonic temple building with all furnishings and reference materials in Minnesota. There was no Satan or evil spirits in the beautiful building. Lynn, thank you for posting that. I hope that some of the rest of you saw that. So, you know, I'm hoping that you'll join it. I hope that you won't be throwing darts and evil things and saying all kinds of terrible things about me for being part of Learning for You, part of one of our sister companies, for about Matt stepping out and being brave enough to do this. I mean, I think it's really horrible. You know, that's one of the problems with the internet these days. People can sit at their computer on their phone anonymously and spew darts anonymously that are hurtful and kind of shouldn't even be said. You know, there's a basic principle in life, you know, that I think most of our parents tried to teach us, that said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. You know, and so why do people feel like they have a right to tell me what I can and can't say, what they have a right to tell Matt what he can and cannot say, to be able to host an educational event that I was likely to say, Matt, that this has not been done before. Did you have to get permission from your lodge or anything to go out and tell the whole story? Or is this just something you're doing on your own?
I'm doing this on my own. I mean, I would say that I'm going to probably get chastised by some brothers for doing it, because there is an older generation that believes in the older precepts of silence and not defending ourselves. But then there's some that would absolutely support what I'm doing. I'm not going to give away any secrets per se. I mean, I'm going to give you proper verbiage to make yourself seem like a Mason whenever you shake hands with somebody. But I'm certainly pulling the veil aside to a lot of the practices. So no, I didn't seek permission. I think I'll seek forgiveness later from those guys that are going to be mad at me. But, you know, it's, again, this is a first good stake in the ground to say, here's what I have. This is a knowledge dump, and you guys can take it for what it is. And if you don't agree, that's fine. Don't agree. If you think that you're going to find yourself more intrigued and ask more questions, great. Maybe there'll be a second part where we just focus on the Templars or something. And the questions I'm going to take, I'm not going to sit here and let you guys bash me and tell me to, you know, pray for my soul. I do that every day anyway. You know, I'm not going to let people take over and create this into a negative thing, but I am also going to be listening to your input. I've heard most arguments before, but somebody might have something really interesting that I've not heard, right? But everybody, listen, the world's in a weird spot and we're moving forward. And everybody thinks that, you know, they understand the Illuminati is controlling things. Look at those hand gestures. They're all Masonic. They're Masons. Look at the symbol. I mean, right angles are part of most things on Earth. Doesn't make it a symbol that we use. You know, if you see a star in something, doesn't mean it's us. There's a star on our flag. There's, you know, a star in the Texas flag. There's, you know, let's pull it all together into an intelligible mass of knowledge that can be that first state that we can then take further and further. If you ask me questions and want a second webinar over something more in depth, we'll do it. But let this exist as an answer to everybody who wants to say that I'm condemned to hell forever because I wear a ring. Okay. Awesome. Good opinion.
Yeah, you know, there was the webinar that, or the Sunday Substack that I posted this last Sunday. It was about, you know, a verse in Zephaniah and also a verse in Exodus that talks, or I'm sorry, in Leviticus that talks about the things that God hates. And I sort of pulled that into like current events, you know, that God hates a liar, hates the non-truth, hates biased judges. And I just wrote my whole Sunday Substack about that. And some of the comments I got back were, well, you're wrong. It's like, wait a minute. Wait.
Right.
You know, first of all, it's my Substack. And second of all, let's have a discussion about this instead of accusations and throwing darts. And so I think that we're in such an opinionated, polarized place.
Where we are.
I think that what we're trying to do with this webinar and more webinars that we're going to do this fall that we've already talked about different topics that we're going to do is to try to open people's minds and to see, you know, see things from maybe a little different perspective, not from a good, bad, black, white, up, down perspective, but just broader. You know, I'll tell you just a really quick story because we're getting down to the end of our hour here. Years ago, I was part of a integrative medicine organization that had hired a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. And I had gone to Washington, D.C. and spent a day and a half following this lobbyist around, going to, you know, different people and watched what he did, how he worked, all the back kind of secret halls inside of, you know, Congress and the Senate. I mean, there's all kinds of little pathways that are there that the general public doesn't get to see. And you get to go into like the private little lunchrooms. We had dinner at the Republican Club. And for years, I would be talking to people about politics, maybe sitting on an airplane. And I would make the comment of saying that every single tax-paying voting American at some point in time should go to Washington, D.C. and follow a lobbyist around. You know, there's a lobbyist for everything. There's a lobbyist for save the snails, for crying out loud. I mean, there's a lobbyist for everything, from environmentalists. And they're happy to have you there because they're hoping that they can get into your pocket and you'll donate money. And so, and everybody would always say to me, well, was it good? Was it bad? It wasn't either. It was educational. It was eye-opening. It just gave me a perspective about politics and what was going on inside of our government that I would not have seen if I hadn't had a little bit of an insider view by following around that lobbyist. Well, these are the sorts of things that we're trying to do, is not make it good, bad, left, right, up, down, give you like pull back and have a wider vision so that you know where your biases are and that you've got something more from an educated inside sort of perspective to stand on.
Dr. T,
mm-hmm.
And I'd just like to mention for those that are just listening, we have a lot of listeners that don't actually watch the video. You mentioned that I posted the Freemason webinar link in the chat. I just wanted to speak it out loud. So if you're interested in joining the webinar, that link, it's a bit.ly link. So it's bit.ly/FMasonWeb. That's FMASONWEB. And trust me, guys, the same way we cannot make an informed decision regarding vaccines or medications or whatever, unless we listen to both sides, because many of us weren't always on this side. We had to know the bad side, and then we learned the good side, and then we made our determination. It's the same thing with every single topic in this world. Ask yourself why, if you look up Freemasonry, why do you only find the negative information? That should stop you in your tracks right there. And the first question into your head should be why. And the second one should be, maybe I should go look for the real information. And then you make your determination.
Very good, Cookie. And that's really true. I mean, think about vaccines. If you type into vaccines on Google, the first 30 lines are, if you say anything about COVID-19, the first 30 lines are about how it's safe and effective and not harmful, didn't kill anybody, has nothing to do with infertility, no myocarditis has been proven. Seriously, it's the same thing. So that's what we're doing here. Matt, you got any closing comments as we're closing out this morning?
Well, as a tradition for Learning for You and everything Dr. Sherry Tenpenny that I've ever known, the whole point of this is truth. So look, I've got thick armor. I can take the hits. But just ask yourself in history, you know, every time the mob control has been in place where it's, you know, groupthink of, you know, Freemasonry bad. They're all going to hell. They're all going to hell. Really? Did your uncle and your grandfather who are Masons, are they in hell? You know, were they bad guys? Should you be here if they were evil guys? Should they have been allowed to prosper and have businesses and families? You know, your doting grandfather who wears a Masonic ring, is he evil? Ask yourself these questions. Look for the truth. I'm an insider. I've been a Mason for 31 plus years. Sheesh, man, I'm getting old. See the gray hair? but I'm going to offer the truth as best as I can present it. And I'll take questions. I mean, you don't get much of an opportunity like this. And this is one of those things where it's important to us, it's important to me, and, you know, we'll see where it leads. And this is exactly the way I felt at the first MVI boot camp. Well, let's see where it goes. And that's where we are.
That's good. Well, thank you, Matt. And I look forward to this webinar as much as anybody, because, you know, even though you and I have been friends for almost 20 years, we've never talked about this. You know, I'll hear you mention once in a while in passing that you went to a lodge meeting or something with the kids or something, but we've never talked about it. I don't know anything any more about it than the other people that are listening to this morning and will listen to it in the future. I don't know anything. So I am really looking forward. And I know the rest of our team, you know, Cookie and Heather, Michelle, everybody else is really interested in this too, as we really want to learn a broader perspective on what's going on with that. So I want to thank everybody for being here with us this morning. Thank you for joining us here for this coffee clatch. I answered a few questions that came in the Q&A. I typed them in while Matt was talking. And we'll have our regular morning coffee next week where we'll go back to normal question and answers. You know, we have 7 broadcasts a week. We do this week with Dr. T, my Brightian show on Monday night. We do morning coffee on Tuesday, happy hour with Dr. T on Tuesday and Thursday night. And of course, critically thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P on Thursday night. And this week, there's 2 events that I want to announce, or actually 3 events I want to announce. On Thursday night is our 5 Docs event. So it's our once a month 5 Docs event on critically thinking. That's at Thursday night at 7 p.m. We also have this week on Thursday, we at our ECP clinic here in Cleveland, Ohio, there's another open house event. We have some really special deals we're going to be advertising. And for those of you that are in Cleveland or in the greater Northeast Ohio area, it is an RSVP event. You must call and make to be able to book what's called a mini session, which is 10 minutes on the bed so that you get a feel for what it's about. It's not a treatment. It's just so you can feel what it is about. And then we've got some really special packages that we're promoting. That's on Thursday afternoon. I believe that's from 2 to 4:30 p.m. on Thursday afternoon this coming week at the Middleburg Heights location. You can find out more information about that by going to tenpennyecp.com. Get the phone number, Cookie. Maybe you can post the phone number. We can announce it if somebody has it off the top of their head. And then also this week, this weekend, I'm speaking at the Go Therefore Conference in Dayton, Ohio. The Go Therefore Conference. It's gotherefore.com. It's a great event. This is, I think, the 3rd or 4th year that I've spoken here. It's a Christian event, really great speakers, great fellowship. I'm going to be speaking at noon on Saturday at the event down there. And so we have the links on our website for that. So this is a pretty busy week coming up. We hope to see you all there and participate with us. You know, if you're a premium podcast member, you can go back and listen to any of the episodes of these things, that any of our podcasts that you've missed by being a premium podcast member. You can hover over the podcast tab and sign into your account. The morning coffees are posted on Substack, drtenpenny.substack.com on Tuesday, and then the Bridie on Show is posted on Thursday on the Substack. So with that, I want to thank everybody for being here with us this morning. We hope that you come with an open mind. We look forward to seeing you at the webinar and come with an open mind to learn. And with that, I'll close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible that I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God, trust him for everything. He will never let you down. So you guys, thank you, Cookie. Thank you, Heather, for all the things that we've done this morning. I hope to see you guys all soon. And if not, we'll see you here next week on Tuesday morning with Morning Coffee with Dr. T. Have a great week. Goodbye and God bless. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store. Gold and silver always has value. It never goes to zero. And it's a great place to store your wealth. It's a great place to have it for inheritance, for your children, for your grandchildren. And when you can actually get the coins itself, when you can actually do that, you can actually even have a coin collection. I think that some of the older Walking Liberty silver dollars are just amazing, that come from the early 1900s. And I think that everybody should have some of those, not only for history, but as a place to protect your wealth, protect your money going forward. It never goes to zero. Like our paper fiat money with hyperinflation and the things that we may be seeing in the future, our dollar could literally go to zero. It could be worth nothing. You might not even be able to barter with it, but you will always have value in gold and silver. You'll always be able to eat with it. You'll be able to trade with it. And it's a great place to store your wealth. Particular company that we work with because we really, again, trust their product. We believe that this company has a high level of integrity and they are great with customer service. To learn more, go to bit.ly/gold-silver-drt. That's bit.ly/gold-silver-drt.